This is News in No Time, Tony Cox. Time now for our Africa update. This week, we're talking about leadership on the continent. Zimbabwean opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai agrees to become prime minister in a new Mugabe coalition government. Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi is chosen to lead the African Union. And a new Somali president is elected by parliament. For more now, we've got Roxanne Lawson. She is director of Africa policy for Trans Africa Forum. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Zimbabwean opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai has agreed to join the country's coalition government. The deal stated that President Mugabe would remain president while Tsvangirai would become prime minister. Mugabe, no secret, Tsvangirai's political nemesis. Will they be able to put their differences aside, which they haven't done so far, and tackle the serious problems in Zimbabwe?
Well, that's the real question. This week, actually next week, the 11th of February, we'll see the implementation of the Global Political Agreement, which was signed in September of last year. And due to the political differences between Robert Mugabe and his party, ZANU-PF, and Morgan Tsvangirai and his party, MDC, they've been unable to have a government. And so we've had a stalemate for several months. Now there seems to be some movement. But the next 8 days are critical. Although MDC, Morgan Tsvangirai, have agreed to come into the official government. He's agreed to become prime minister. It hinges on a number of political issues that have been being talked about and hashed out for the last 5 or 6 months.
It seems as if the SADC really had a hand in getting Tsvangirai to move to the position of agreeing to this. And I'm supposing that the international community's reaction, the anticipated reaction, may have also played a part. Am I right?
That's absolutely correct. The SADC, or the SADC, the Southern Africa Development Community, has been working since before the elections to try to quell the political divide between MDC and ZANU-PF. And under the leadership of former South African President Thabo Mbeki, have finally started to see some fruit of their labor. The UN has already spoken out. Ban Ki-moon has said that he will support moving forward, both politically and also economically, which is what Zimbabwe needs. They are in desperate need of an influx of international dollars to help stem both the economic and then the health crisis in Zimbabwe.
Talking about leaders, African Union leaders are meeting in Ethiopia's capital city to discuss the future of the coalition, and in a closed-door meeting, they chose Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi to head the 53-member union for a one-year term. This seems surprising to some, perhaps not to others.
From the African point of view, it's actually a really good move. I mean, first of all, the African Union rotates geographically, so it was time for a North African president. And Muammar Gaddafi, despite having a strained relationship with the United States, has long been a very active and vocal proponent of Pan-Africanism in the line of Nkrumah and really trying to see a unified African body that can help solve Africa's problems from the inside out.
You know, Gaddafi wants the AU to function more like the European Union, where there is a central authority. But some of the other African countries fear, don't they, that that will erode their sovereignty. What are the pros and cons for modeling the AU after the EU, and how successful might Gaddafi be along that line?
Some of the pros are that there's already some of the infrastructure on the African continent for this. There are really strong and powerful regional blocs like SADC, as well as ECOWAS and the Ethiopian Development Community. And so all of those things can fit into this kind of EU model on the pro side. On the con side, the notion that African sovereignty will once again be kind of glossed over, if it were, by a larger force. I mean, under colonization, African leaders have, and African people have had a history of not being able to govern for themselves. And so there is some danger of that. Although I do think that the Gaddafi way of looking at the African Union and its new way forward is one that's going to be hopeful. Already we've seen some immediate changes that seem to be strengthening the African Union's ability to be able to look at regional and African-wide problems, both economically and militarily.
Would you say that Gaddafi's association with terrorism, going back to the bombing of the Pan Am flight over Lockerbie, Scotland, is that all water under the bridge? That's a terrible pun, and I apologize for that. But is that all past now in terms of his stature?
I think in politics, nothing is ever behind you. But I do think that for members of the African Union, for their leaders and for people on the ground on the continent, they also know that there's a larger story to Muammar Gaddafi, that he's done very much for his people, although he's been highly criticized by civil society in his own country, and that they see that African leadership takes on many different forms. And they're more concerned with the way in which African leaders interact with each other than the way they interact with outside leaders.
Last thing about Gaddafi, how long would you think it would take before we see his stamp on AU?
I think we're already seeing it. One of the outcomes of the meeting that Muammar Gaddafi actually asked outside of him becoming president was this transition from the AU Commission to an AU authority. We're not exactly sure how that's going to play out, but it shows a shift in the way in which the AU is going to function as a much stronger bloc, not just with political will, but also with money and financing to do some of the things in the continent that need to be addressed.
Well, we've been talking about leadership so far. Let's continue that theme. Speaking of new leadership, Somalia has a new president, Sheikh Sharif Sheikh Ahmed, the moderate Islamist leader elected by the country's parliament. What does this mean for the Somali people?
Well, hopefully it means an end to the devastating crisis in Somalia. The new president, Sheikh Shafar Ahmed, is the old president, in fact. He was actually president of Somalia under the Islamic Courts Union, which was ousted in the U.S.-backed Ethiopian invasion in 2006. And so we're seeing him come back to power, although he has distanced himself on some levels from some of the more extreme and Islamic forces within Somali civil society and government. He still is probably the only person that can unify that nation. He's calling now on the most extreme factions within Somalia to put down their arms, to stop their fighting with AU forces, which are in the country trying to stabilize it. And we've seen a kind of gradual turnover of power. The biggest issue, though, is whether or not the Somali government can actually function inside Somalia. These elections took place in Somalia's neighbor, Djibouti. If they cannot function inside the government, then it will be business as usual in Somalia.
Is there a question of whether or not, it sounds like it is based on your previous answer, whether he is connected more with the Arab world or with Africa?
There isn't really a question. I mean, Somalia sees itself as a bridgeway, and they're both a society of Bantu Somalis, which are more kind of ethnic African Somalis, and traditional Somalis, which are a blend of the Arab and African world. And so there isn't really that tension. I think mostly for Somalia, the biggest tension is whether or not the different political leadership can come together to actually secure the country so that regular Somalis can go about their lives.
Really briefly, my last question is this. Ethiopian troops were supposed to have pulled out of Somalia, but there are conflicting eyewitness reports that they have returned. What's the latest on that?
The latest on that is that the Ethiopian government has spoken out strongly saying that there are no troops within the government, that the only troops that people are seeing are these AU forces that are coming under attack from al-Shabaab, which is the kind of an armed activist group inside Somalia who's fighting for what they consider to be Somali self-determination. They're the ones who are mostly behind what may or may not be true, that Ethiopians are actually operating in the country, although all reports that we've had confirmed as of today have said that they actually all Ethiopian troops are behind the border of Ethiopia. And so we'll have to continue to monitor the situation.
So this doesn't mean that the new president is beginning with a crisis of that proportion, at least in the beginning.
He has enough crisis on his hands as it is. I mean, Somalia is far from a functioning country. Most of the people who live in Somalia are internally displaced. It's kind of some of the worst fighting and just the dire situation on the continent. I mean, we talk about all the time about different crises, but Somalia really is ground zero right now for crisis on the continent.
Roxanne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roxanne Lawson is Director of Africa Policy for Trans-Africa Forum. She was at our headquarters in Washington, D.C.